Welcome back to Blotter Briefs, teehee, briefs, an attempt to clear-cut the overgrown lot that is my true crime podcast backlog. Before we start, a few show notes for today. First of all, apologies for the delay between baseball and construction work here at Blotter HQ. I am a bit behind on the day. And speaking of the world champion Boston Red Sox, the guy who once dressed as Jason Varitek at a party just to torture me, Mike Dunn, had a computer meltdown late last week, so he's unable to record the main podcast with me, so there will be no main podcast this week. But you will be getting new briefs, TE briefs, each weekday instead. All right, let's get to it. Once again, today we are contemplating the notorious NFL, this time in the person of Ray Carruth and the death of his child's mother, Sharika Adams, in 1999. Bailiff, take the jury out, please. It's time for Carruth, a podcast from the Charlotte Observer. The crime from the podcast's iTunes page. The, quote, miracle began November 16, 1999, when Sharika Adams was shot four times in Charlotte, North Carolina. A hitman tried to murder Adams, the girlfriend of NFL star Ray Carruth, and their unborn son, Chancellor Lee. But the hitman failed. Now, a year-long investigation exposes stunning new details of the crime that shocked the sports world, and the impacts still being felt years later. Hosted by Charlotte Observer reporter Scott Fowler, who has covered this saga for 19 years. Carruth was released from prison last week, in fact, after having served 17 years of an 18 to 24 year sentence. The story. Both the description I just read and reporter Scott Fowler's narration early in the first episode of Carruth hint that this case is not open and shut, although my cynical interpretation of this implication is that, you know, it had to be pitched and packaged as something other than rubbernecking, partly to class it up and partly because it might parallel the Globe's Aaron Hernandez podcast too closely otherwise. And it does parallel both Gladiator and the Steve McNair pod, to an extent, the former in the suggestion that the culture surrounding pro football is to an extent responsible for the crimes committed by its, quote, employees, the latter in straining, perhaps, to make an all-too-explicable tragedy into a whodunit. But folks in my Twitter timeline spoke well of Carruth, and so far, I agree. It's hosted by Scott Fowler, whose accent may not be everyone's cup of cured tobacco, but I married a Tar Heel, so I can demonstrably listen to that shit all day. Fowler is a bit stiff up top, but has a deep grounding in the case, to the point where Carruth will send him a letter that reveals more than it thinks it does about Carruth's, let's say, sense of self.
In every great piece of literature, there's always a protagonist and an antagonist. And unfortunately, in this very real-life saga, the latter applies to me.
911, Bakery, any police, fire, or attic?
Police, I've been shot.
You've been shot? Where are you at,
ma'am? Five times. Come on.
Listen to me. You're on a wireless phone. I don't know where you are, so tell me where you are, ma'am.
The letter continues. With everyone so heavily entrenched in the past and the tragedy that led us to this chapter, there's nothing I could ever say or do to right my wrongs or to no longer be, quote, the bad guy.
Okay, where are you shot at, ma'am?
This could be interpreted as the musings of a man who, for most of the last two decades, has had nothing else to do but read and create literary parallels to and within his own life and mistakes. Paired with a, quote, People's True Crime section pulled from a letter Carruth sent to Sharika Adams' mother about his son Chancellor, however, a rather more bitter flavor of tone deafness emerges. Quote, earlier this year, Carruth wrote a letter to local television station WBTV intended for Chancellor's grandmother, Sandra Adams, who cares for the teen who has cerebral palsy. Ms. Adams, it would mean everything to me to be able to know and have a relationship with my son, he wrote in the letter. I owe him. The letter continues, I'd give anything to have the opportunity to do right by Chancellor and to play a meaningful role in his life. I mean, come on, Ms. Adams, the reality is you aren't going to be around forever. At some point, someone else will have to be responsible for Chancellor's care. That being said, of course, when that time comes, I would like to be in a position to be seriously considered as a viable option. End quote. Ms. Adams, understandably, noped this idea relatively gently, but making mention of Carruth's narcissism, and I think on some level, this is what fascinates us about sports crime stories. Outre behavior we can smugly judge, tisking dudes who seemed to have it all, then burned it all down with their own selfishness. That it's more complicated than that, along every imaginable axis, race, class, the unconscious biases we have towards, quote, baseball wives and their sistren in other sports, not least the fatuously dismissive term baby mama, is what fascinates me about these stories. But instead of going on yet another rant about the NCAA, for now, I will just recommend the 30 for 30 episode Broke and move on to noting that Carruth gets fairly significant figures in Ray's life and case to participate, including a guy who's shaping up as the Zelig of big-time North Carolinian cases, David Rudolph, whom you probably remember from The Staircase. I did not remember that Rudolph represented Carruth in case proceedings, and he has been designated by Carruth to interface with The Observer for this podcast. Carruth also shines a light on some of the assumptions we might make about everyone at the club. The next clip puts Sharika, her mom, and an entire ancillary social system around pro athletes into three dimensions. It's a little long, but I think you'll enjoy it.
In 1998, Carruth reconnected with Sharika at a teammate's birthday party held at a local strip club. That's another part of this story that often hasn't made the news coverage.
Yes, he ended up seeing her at the club. And he was very upset that she was dancing. And
how did you react when she did tell you about that?
Well, I was, you know, this was in the 90s, and we're coming from a Christian perspective, and I'm like, this is just not what you want to see your daughter do. And it was so stigmatized and associated with prostitution. And she was like, Mom, you know, it's not like on the other side of town where the guys are all up grabbing you and whatever. And she's like, let me tell you my plan. Now, the plan is I can make this much money in this much time, and I can put down on my condo. And I knew who she was in her character. And in all honesty, if I must say, when she started depositing all this money, I was like, do they need a mom for the dancers? Do they have like a mom for them that can kind of be there to oversee you?
Oh, love it. I don't think the a murder mystery, a love story promises will be paid off by Carruth, but that's okay. Sometimes good narrative is its own hook. And Carruth's hook, at least from a distribution standpoint, is that you can listen to the whole season right now because they dropped all the episodes last week. I recommend it. It's just called Carruth, that's C-A-R-R-U-T-H, and it is available on all your podcast platforms. You can add a podcast, book, documentary, or series to my playbook. Email me, bunting@the-blotter.com, or find me on social media, that's @BlotterPresents on both Facebook and Twitter. If you become a Patreon tipster, you will get to listen to and select the minisodes that I don't send to Gen Pop. Tipster's got a bonus episode on an encyclopedia of unsolved crimes and several, quote, bonus rants on Jeffrey McDonald over the weekend, and they'll be hearing a Slenderman case threefer later this week. That page is patreon.com/blotterpresents. Thanks for listening to today's Blotter Brief. I'm your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am always prepared to rule.